Okay, so this is going to be good morning on this fine Friday, July 30th, 2021. Welcome to the Bipolar Bear Podcast. All right, let's get into it, man. So, I have some interesting news, but I'm going to start this off with the definition of the word despair. The complete loss or absence of hope. Ladies and gentlemen, I am in despair. I'm not trying to be serious. I'm just, man. So if you remember, I had mentioned a few episodes ago that I felt that the most recent interview I had was outstanding. And I got an email last night at literally the close of business that said, hey, thanks, but no thanks. We're going to pass on you. Man, I just cannot catch a break. I mean, I spent almost an hour and a half on a 45-minute interview, not struggling through anything, just answering all the questions, having a great back and forth with an individual who clearly was lying to me the entire time and didn't feel as if that I had the skill set or personality or whatever they were looking for to get all this done, and led me to believe that we were moving on to the next level, only to basically just pass it off to the recruiter to tell me, take a hike. Well, that's so disappointing. I mean, I must have the worst skills when it comes to judging a circumstance or a situation of anyone in the entire planet. I mean, I cannot believe it. I mean, I was elated the other day when we were talking about this. And I was expressing my joy and happiness and excitement for the fact that I did so well. And, you know, I don't understand this recurring theme in my life. I mean, I just went through this with my current role where, you know, I felt like I was doing great. Nobody said a word to me. And all of a sudden, apparently, I'm not doing what they wanted me to do. So, yeah, I'm in a complete pit of despair. I mean, I don't know how else to explain it. I feel so lost and so dismayed. You know, I mean, this is in no way, shape, or form helping me feel as if anything that I'm doing is correct or the right thing or positive. Man, I mean, how much do I have to get tested here? I mean, what really is it that I've done that I have to go through this much shit every single day of my life, it seems? Not bad enough that I have congenital heart disease. Not bad enough that I have fatty liver disease. Not bad enough that I have bipolar disorder, manic depression, anxiety and panic disorder. I mean, you know, what else do I need? Why can't I just catch a break? And I'm not looking for a handout. I am busting my butt, getting prepared and doing things. And I know what I'm talking about and I know what I'm doing. And just people can't be honest with me. They will not tell me the truth. They will not do the right thing. I don't know, man. Makes me really question pretty much everything that I'm doing is under fire at this point. And it's just up in the air for, do I have any clue about anything at this point? Or am I just completely lost and completely gone and I have no idea which end is up? That's how I feel right now. I just feel completely lost. That's why I'm using the word despair. I think that's, the complete loss or absence of hope. I have no hope right now. I have no idea what I should be doing, what the right thing is, what the wrong thing is. I'm just completely discombobulated. Maybe that's the second new word of the day, discombobulated. Hear a long pauses in silence here. I apologize. I'm literally stunned by this. I mean, I can understand being a little bit off and not really reading a conversation or a situation, but to be this far off, I mean, we were talking about proprietary information was being shared with me. I was looking at internal company resources, and then they turn around and tell me that they're going to pass? Wow. In my experience, if I've interviewed someone and they weren't right for the job, you know, I didn't do it in a public forum where the rest of the team was there. But when I spoke to the individual, I just let them know, hey, you know, I think you're a great person, but you really don't have the skill set that we're driving for here. We need someone that's got more experience and more hands-on and more technical depth and aptitude than you're bringing to the table. But I guess, I don't know. I guess I am just either a rare breed of individual and people just don't do this, or there is just some tragic flaw that I carry around with me that is just in no way compatible with anything or anyone out there. I don't know if any of you have experienced this or feel this way or, you know, have gone through something like this. I guess I'm totally delusional and deluded in thinking that I'm something that I'm actually not. I mean, I don't understand how, when there's so many opportunities out there in a discipline that I have a great deal of experience and skill in, that someone completely snows me like this and tells me they're super excited. They want to have the interview. They're so happy to, you know, get to the next level. We're going to move forward. And then I get a response from a recruiter saying, well, we're not going to move forward now. Man, I am really losing my faith in human beings. I mean, what kind of people do we have out there in society today that are just such cowards and just so ill-equipped to deal with people and just hide behind these curtains of just in these facades of bullshit? Can't you just tell somebody the truth to their face? I mean, you that big of a pussy that you can't just speak your mind? I mean, I find it hard to believe that I'm that strong or that tough of a person that I'm able to speak my mind honestly, openly, sincerely, truthfully to someone and not even flinch. That isn't something special. That's normal behavior, is it not? Or is everybody just, you know, literally just a complete, I don't even know what the word is. Just so afraid and ashamed and can't say anything to your face and can't tell you the truth. I mean, they just have no dignity whatsoever. It's just a mind, man, it's just mind blowing. I mean, I don't mean to be so down and be so, you know, take so much pause in everything I'm saying. I'm just trying to process this because it's just mind blowing to me. I cannot believe, you know, and I'm not trying to make this into something big. I mean, it's just a job. It's not the end of the world or anything like that. It's not, it was just an opportunity I thought was an awesome opportunity and an awesome fit for a lot of different reasons. So it felt like things were coming together, but you know, and even the interactions that I've had up to this point were super positive. So it's just a really weird conclusion to, you know, something that I thought was going to go in a different, totally different direction. So yeah, I had another pretty down day yesterday. That was not what I wanted to hear at the end of my day, by any means. So I'm just stuck in this loop of just total uncertainty and I don't know which end is up, because everything that I do that I think is comes out powerful and strong and correct and everything is right seems to be interpreted on the other side as not that, or the wrong thing, or exactly the opposite of what I think it is. So I guess you could say, well, Garrett, why don't you just, you know, if you think whatever you're doing is interpreted the opposite, just do the opposite first. Yeah, that's a little harder to do than you might think, you know, because I react very gutturally and instinctively. So I just say and answer the questions that are posed to me to the best of my knowledge. Like, I had a meeting yesterday at work, and it was, you know, I'm so shy, like gun shy, to say anything because I don't know if what I'm saying is the right thing. I can't go to these people and say, hey man, am I doing the right thing? Am I not doing the right thing? You know, because I don't want to reveal that I feel a lack of confidence, because maybe that will be seen as a sign of weakness and failure. And now they'll be like, well, this guy doesn't even have the confidence to say what we need him to say, so we're not going to want him around anymore. And as I've said before, I sincerely enjoy the position that I have. You know, it's been a tumultuous 18 months. I'll say that for sure. But again, I'm 100% sincere in the fact that if I'm not a leader for this organization, then I'm not a leader for this organization. It's not the right fit. I have no problem with a decision like that. I have a problem with the decision and how it was made. But, you know, that's semantics. That's my perception and my opinion of something. That doesn't mean that it's right or wrong. It's just, for me, it didn't come out the best way that it possibly could have, or the way that I would have liked to have received it. And I felt that I wasn't given a chance to even defend myself or do anything. So, you know, it was just an ultimatum, and those are never really a positive experience. But man, yeah, pit of despair just kind of keeps rummaging through my head. I had a pretty vivid dream last night as well, and I don't know that there's any relation to this because it had nothing to do with a job. It had to do with, you know, ever have those dreams where you have a person in your dream that you don't know who they are really, but they feel familiar? Like physically, I have no idea who this person was. I don't recall them in my life or anything like that. But there was this feeling, and it was an inspecific feeling. It wasn't about someone, again, specifically. It was just this feeling of comfort. And it was just all about consolation and comfort and feeling loved and just like pure joy in a way, like, but at the same time, utter sadness and despair. You know, I was just like laying in this fictitious person's lap, just crying, and, you know, they were consoling me. And all I wanted to do was hug and hold hands and, you know, I mean, I know that I'm sure that sounds totally ridiculous, but it's just that, you know, when I'm kicked like this and I get down, I don't really have someone that can comfort me. And it's, you know, it's really, like my youngest daughter has been giving me hugs lately, and she's such a sweetheart for that. I love her. That's just so nice. And my middle daughter, you know, wishes me, you know, tells me she loves me and says goodnight. And, you know, you may think that's ridiculous, but, you know, these are older kids now. These aren't little babies, you know, they're 15 and 18. So that's a conscious effort on their part. Maybe they're actually reaching out and they're there for me. But it's not quite the same type of thing, if I can explain that right. It's not like, I don't know. It's hard to articulate this. It's hard to put it into words, but, you know, ultimately it ends up being that, you know, I don't have that with my wife, and it really is a problem for me because when I get feeling like this, words just aren't enough. You know, I need someone to literally and physically hold me and tell me it's going to be okay. That reminds me of The Wedding Singer. I just want to find someone to grow old with and someone to hold me and tell me everything's going to be okay. Yeah, it's exactly that portion of the movie where the guy wearing the limo driver has said that to Adam Sandler when he was going through a difficult time. Yeah, so I mean, in these times when I feel like I failed, or I literally have failed, I mean, this is a measurable failure that I'm going through right now. It's very difficult to see my way clear in terms of a path to positivity. And, you know, that really causes a lot of difficulty for me because I already have that problem, right? I don't need any help. I don't need any further challenges or struggles to get me into that mindset. I apparently exist in that mindset all the time anyway. So I really, you know, don't do well in these circumstances. It's not that I can't rise above and overcome, because of course I can and I will. But like right now, I'm just so totally drained. And that's, you know, I keep going back to this word despair. It's just a complete loss of absence or absence of hope. I just don't. That's where you're standing in the car dealership yesterday. I got a brand new car yesterday. And you'd think that would be kind of a celebratory moment and feel good. Yay, it's cool. I got a really nice RAV4 Prime. It's a hybrid, part battery, part gasoline engine. You know, really, really nice car. Somewhere in the mid-40s, something like that. Brand new, leased it. Awesome. You know, love it. It's a great car. And I'm standing in the dealership as we're completing everything. And I just had this feeling in the pit of my stomach. And it was just, the only word that came to mind was despair. And I just felt so hopeless and I couldn't even enjoy the moment. I mean, you know, that's kind of a celebratory occasion, you know, not like I've said before, not everyone has the privilege of being able to lease or buy a brand new car. That's not, it's, and I'm not trying to overstate it. I'm just saying that it's a privilege to be able to do that. So to not be able to enjoy the fact that I've, you know, it achieved a level of, you know, mild success in my life where I can get a brand new car, you know, every couple of years, then, you know, I'm not trying to make this into something bigger than it is. You know, leasing a car is not a big deal, but all I'm trying to say is that not everybody can do that. So it is an accomplishment and it's something to be proud of and something to feel good about. And I'm standing in the dealership feeling like blowing my brains out. Not literally, but more just like this utter despair. Just want to feel like I just give up and there's just no hope and I can't see a clear positive path forward in any way, shape, or form. And it's really disconcerting in a lot of ways because I'm getting so tired of the ups and downs of this. It's just like one minute I'm elated and the next minute I'm ready to just throw myself out a window. And it's just, you know, clearly the medication I'm taking is not evening that, or maybe it is, you know, because I'm not having like a major depressive feeling like where I can't function and I'm not having a panic attack. So maybe it's preventing those things from happening, but it sure isn't helping my mindset and my disposition on things in general. I still feel overly negative and I don't know how to get out of this funk, man. I need help badly in some way to help me feel better about myself and get me into a position where I'm not miserable all the time. And apparently I'm not able to do it on my own. And I think that, you know, it's not big of me to admit that, but I think it's required of me to admit that I'm not able to do this on my own. And maybe, you know, there's other people out there that feel the same way. And that's how you end up in these downward spirals where you have no one to turn to. You don't know what to do. What am I supposed to call the suicide hotline and talk to somebody? I mean, I don't feel suicidal. So there's, what would the reason behind that be? They're not going to help me in any way. And that's the other problem that I have is either I'm too stubborn to admit that I don't know what the heck is going on. But for the most part, I feel like I can articulate to some degree exactly how I'm feeling. I just don't know what the answer is to solve this problem and overcome these feelings. But I can feel it already coming on now. I'm starting to lose my temper. I'm starting to get extremely irritable and short-tempered. You know, like every little thing, like I'm listening to one of our dogs upstairs, all it's doing is barking. You know, that's what she does. She goes outside and barks and stuff. And it is irritating me to such a degree that I want to go upstairs and just freak out. It's driving me nuts. And it shouldn't. That's what little doggies do. They go outside and bark. So why is it that I have such an issue with that? Why can't I get past these feelings that I have? And I just, man, it just makes me hate who I am as a person because I cannot seem to get past the same crap over and over and over again. I mean, I'd almost liken it to, it's like being addicted to drugs where you just cannot get off of it. You go to rehab over and over and over and you just keep on repeating the cycle. How do you break these patterns, people? You know, does anyone know? Because clearly I do not. You know, and what really is my word of the day conundrum here is that you would think that I have so much to be thankful for. And I've said this before, I have so many things to be that I've been blessed with. I mean, even my life, the fact that I'm alive is something I should celebrate because I could easily have died many times through many different surgeries and medical procedures and you know, congenital issues that I've had my entire life. But yet here I am, still going. And for what? To just live a tortured, miserable, meaningless life? I don't know what else there is for me to do. Every single thing that I try ends up wrong. And I'm not overstating that or exaggerating at all. Let me be clear about that. When I tell you that everything I do is wrong, it's funny, in a sick kind of way, funny. My father used to say, you know, Garrett, everything you touch, you break. And he was, you know, he wasn't the most kind and loving person to me growing up. He was kind of, I don't know, he was what he was. But that's something he said to me all the time, that everything I touch, I break. And it feels like that's still going on. Everything that I touch, I break. It just does not work out. I don't know who it is I need to be around. I don't know if there are any people that want to be around me. But I got to say that it's really a difficult struggle each and every day to get up and repeat this same thing, no matter how many ways I've tried to do it, or how many different things I've tried, or different methodologies that I've tried to employ in my daily life. Because believe me, the kind of drive that I have as an individual doesn't allow me to not try over and over. I don't give up. It's very difficult for me to quit. You know, I want to succeed and do well. That's my sincere intention. It has no ulterior motive. You know, I've gotten to a point where I make enough money. It's not about the money. It's not about getting the next job that's going to pay me $10,000 more. I don't care about that anymore. I'm nearly 50 years old. I've gone down that road for long enough and realize that, you know, I'm not going to reach a point where I'm going to be financially independent. It's just not going to be there for me. That's totally acceptable. I don't even care. I mean, but what I'm getting at here is I'm almost feel like I don't want to do anything anymore. I just want to wallow in my own self-pity, man. I just want to sit here and do nothing because I give up. I'm feeling like I'm reaching that point where I give up. What can I do differently that I haven't tried over the last couple decades? I mean, this isn't like one thing. This is me over years and years of time having these same results. Like I've explained, like, you know, to use my career as an example, I was working at a place that was acquired. And while I wasn't fired, you know, for poor performance or for lack of whatever, nevertheless, I wasn't retained. So there's a negative connotation to that, no matter how you look at it. You know, yeah, I got a severance package and I got good references and you know, it was fine. But nevertheless, they didn't like me enough to keep me. I wasn't selected to stay with the organization when it was acquired and absorbed into the larger company that purchased them. So that even that tells you something that, you know, and obviously, other people were impacted in the same way. So I'm not saying, oh, poor me. I'm just saying I wasn't picked. You know, you could kind of relate it back to like when you were a kid and you were being picked for the kickball team and you got picked last. I mean, that says something. You know, yeah, you're on the team, but nobody actually wanted you. You're there because they had to pick you. And what's transpired in my life seems to be that I'm there because people had to pick me. And in this case, it's the inverse of that, where when they had the option and the choice to say, okay, who do you guys want to keep? I was not one of the people they wanted to keep. And, you know, I'm not trying to embellish, but, you know, to some degree, that's heartbreaking for me. I don't understand it at all. I mean, I hate to say it and I hate to admit it, but, you know, maybe my wife has been right this whole time that it's just me, you know, and I'm going to be this old, lonely, by myself person simply because nobody likes me. Nobody wants me around. Nobody really cares. Look, I know I'm in a pit of despair. You know, why don't I say that one more friggin' time? I understand that I'm wallowing right now and this is completely pitiful and pathetic, but I can't help it. I mean, you know, if I'm going to do podcasts every day, you're going to definitely get a lot of different me's, air quotes, me's, a lot of different Garrett's because this is who I am as a person. You know, I'm trying to work these things out and become a better person. And, you know, you're going to get a little bit of everything here from day to day because today I have a pounding headache, of course, as always. That seems to be a common thread for me. And just every little thing is irritating me. So I have to be very aware of that. Because if I'm not, I fall right down into these traps of mistreating people and acting a fool. And really just the worst in me comes out. And I, you know, I'm trying so desperately not to be that person anymore. This is hard, hard work. You know, I mean, my counselor has said, you know, it's very difficult to change who you are fundamentally as a human being and as a person. You know, you are who you are in some cases. And you know, I'm definitely feeling the pain and not the suffering really, but you know, to me, this feels like suffering in a lot of ways, that I'm feeling very challenged by this effort that I'm trying to really make. And it's not easy for me to do this. This has become or becoming, you know, a daily mantra, if you will. It's just over and over the same thing, and I can't get away from it. And I can't hide my feelings. I can't deny my feelings. You know, I mean, this is how I feel about things. I'm a very sensitive person. I mean, maybe you don't get that from me, you know, because I don't know, maybe I'm still trying to describe myself as this big tough guy, but I'm really not. I think I'm just a very angry, frustrated individual. And I've been, you know, like abused in a way for a long period of time where I just haven't been loved and supported and cared about. So you get very jaded and cold and just, you kind of die inside in a lot of ways. And I don't know if I really said that before, but I've alluded to that. But what I mean is that, like, for me to forgive people, there has to be some concession there. There has to be a yin and yang or a give and take. So if you've done something to me and then I forgive it, it's very difficult for me not to move on, but to move on and not remember what's going on there and what happened there. It's a very difficult thing for me to just let it go sincerely and genuinely and completely, as if it never happened. I just cannot do that. It's very difficult for me and nearly impossible. I don't know that I've ever been able to. So I end up with resentment. And that is an extremely negative emotion to carry around with you, because basically you feel slighted by everyone in your life. And I've even had that feeling with my kids a few times where it's been like, wow, I guess I just got to let go, or I can't get past this. And then it's always this feeling of, like, in my mind, I can think back and remember what I had to do to get to where I am today in my mind, you know? And it's like, wow, I had to, like, let a piece of me go so that I could be at peace with what happened. You know, I've explained that with my parents, where it's like, it's not that I don't love my parents, I do, but it's just, they're never really top of mind, because there's been so many instances where I've had to let stuff go so that I didn't hold on to the anger, that I just, you know, you lose a part of the care that you really have. You have to surrender it. Does that make any sense? So for me to be able to move past a challenging and trying situation where you've hurt me, I have to go, okay, well, this person has to be brought down a notch in terms of what I think of them and what I feel about them, so that I can get past the fact that they hurt me so badly or so deeply. And every time I've had to do that, you kind of get further away and further away, and then the relationship becomes more and more distant. And ultimately, it becomes like a, well, you know, if you're here, you're here. If you're not, you're not, kind of thing. And unfortunately, this is the kind of feeling I have toward people that, you know, are supposed to love me and that I'm supposed to love in life. And we just don't have that kind of relationship anymore because of things that have transpired throughout our past. And it's really, you know, it's just the way it's the only way I know how to deal with things. You know, I can't just look at someone that's completely fucked me over and say, oh yeah, I forgive you and I love you and you're awesome, and just move on and forget that it ever happened. I don't know if you can do that, but I really don't have that skill. I've not been able to do that. And look, I mean, I've been explaining for the last 3 episodes how butthurt I still am over work. And these aren't even people I care about at all in that kind of way, right? I mean, I care about them as human beings, of course, but they're not an important part of my life in the personal manner. They're the people I work for. And yet they did something to me that I felt was wrong, and they wronged me, if you will, in the way that they rolled this whole thing out, and I'm still not over it. And to some degree, it's you know, made a part of me have to let a part of them go, in the sense that it's like, well, you don't really care about me, I guess, then I'm going to have to diminish how much I care about you in the same capacity so that it can all balance out. Because I guess for me, everything has to balance, or And it's a very fine line. It's kind of like the balance beam, you know, using the gymnastics that is going on right now as a as an analogy. You know, I'm on a balance beam and, you know, I wobble quite a bit. You push me in one direction and the other direction, you know, it's a difficult balancing act for me to remain, you know, civil, I guess, and not just fly off the handle in one way or another. And I, you know, it goes both ways. I guess it's more acceptable to be like hyper excited and happy than it is to be hyper depressed and negative, but they go hand in hand. I mean, there's no reason why they wouldn't balance out, just like everything else in the universe has an equal and opposite force kind of scenario, one thing pushing, one thing pulling. And for everything to remain in balance and have homeostasis, you have to have equal on each side. There's equivalence requirements. So for me, that's what I'm trying to explain is that, you know, I really go down these paths where if you wrong me, it's really hard for me to get past that without having to let a piece of my feelings for you go. I have to diminish what I feel and how much I care about someone to be able to accept the fact that they did something to me that hurt me, even if they're sorry for it. But, you know, unfortunately, the majority of the people in my life are never sorry either. They don't apologize. They just feel as if I'm wrong. And maybe I am, you know, I mean, I don't know at this point, it's almost impossible to tell if I'm right or wrong because it seems like everything, it points at me being wrong. And when you live a life like that, I'm not saying that that's incorrect. That could be very much the truth. But when you're living a life like that, it's really difficult to be positive. If everything that you're trying and you're doing is seen or felt or expressed or experienced as wrong, how the heck are you supposed to feel good about any of that? If everything I do is wrong, then how do I balance that with right? The only way to do it is in my mind. And that, you know, that's like this illusion fantasy land kind of approach to just self-satisfying a requirement for balance when one doesn't actually exist. So for the most part, everything in my life feels and appears to be negative, and I don't get very many positives. Now, again, maybe I'm just completely blinded by how I'm feeling emotionally right now, and I'm not able to see like, okay, yeah, I got a new car. But those things are so superficial. I'm not talking about material things. That's why the money isn't a solution to this, or probably a solution to anything, because it's, you know, why I guess there's people that are rich that say things like, well, you don't think money can buy you happiness, you don't know where to shop. You know, I don't know if I mean, I can't make a pass judgment on that. I have no way of knowing that. I don't have that kind of money to be able to say, yeah, well, you know, I'm happy now because I have so much money I can buy myself happiness. But I don't truly believe that that's accurate anyway. I think it's far more grounded in personal feelings. And, you know, if you're not happy, it's because of the circumstances around you, not because of the crap you don't have. Because I've known plenty of people that don't have squat from a materialistic standpoint that are that come off very happy and very joyful and very whimsical and just everything's fine and not a care in the world. And they're good where they are. You know, Bob Marley was a guy like that. Like, he always described himself as not being rich in that way, meaning he wasn't rich in financial, in the financial capacity, although he probably was. He felt he was rich in relationships and people and the joy of life and music and things that really mattered. And, you know, I envy that to such a degree because I wholeheartedly and sincerely do not feel that way. I always feel like a failure, like I've been slighted, like the opportunities did not work out in my favor, just like I described. I mean, how do I go from 3 interviews that were awesome to all of a sudden now we're just not going to move forward? I mean, I don't understand. I mean, I could understand if I bombed one of the interviews and it was just awful, but that wasn't the case objectively. And that's not me being delusional and making things up and you know, I got all the answers right. What are you talking about? You're not moving forward. Why? You know, just what happened? And I'll never know, you know, so there's no closure there either. It's not like they're going to tell you why, but something must have happened that changed the trajectory of where we were going from this really positive, everybody was psyched and it was really exciting and they were lining up interviews left and right to like, nope, we're done. Like, wow, that's, yeah, man, that's pretty disappointing. So that was a pretty odorous shit sandwich that I got last night. So I do apologize that I'm kind of in the pit of despair for the fifth time that I'm sure I've said that so far today. I just, you know, I know this sounds ridiculous. I'm sure it does, but I really look forward to doing this podcast every day because I'm so far gone at this point and so delusional that it feels to me as if I'm actually talking to someone. Even though I know I'm not, right? I know there's no one listening. I'm talking to me and there's no one interacting with me right now. But I'm so desperate for interaction and acceptance that this is actually something I enjoy doing all by myself, just talking to myself. And it makes me feel better. So I'm being very sincere when I say that doing this is actually part of what I think is helping me from a therapeutic standpoint become not necessarily a better person, but at least express the feelings that I have that get pent up inside me that I need to get out and talk to somebody about. And since I have nobody to talk to in my life, this is how I'm doing it. And I'm, you know, you can't have your counselor every day. I'm not going to call the crisis hotline and talk to some stranger like this. I might as well just do this. You know, I'm not going to pay for that stuff. That's crazy. But yeah, I mean, as odd as that may sound, I actually look forward to doing this each and every day. And I really want to have good topics and subject matter to talk about. The goal here was to actually talk about stuff, you know, meaningful things, I guess. But in the end, it's just me rambling on about poor me and my miserable life and all the crap that I'm going through. But, you know, the one thing that I found in my life that is a constant is that I am who I am. Not like Popeye the Sailor Man. I don't mean it that way, but it's funny that rhymes, right? I think he used to say, I am who I am. I'm Popeye the Sailor Man. Boop, boop, you know. But that's true for me. Like, even with music, I cannot make music in any other way than what's individual to me. Like, I'm not good at doing cover songs or doing other people's music or writing music that's really like other people's stuff, which is, again, probably why that stuff isn't very successful, is because it doesn't really fit a genre. It's actually different. You know, I don't know what it is. Is it ambient? Is it beats? Is it hip hop? Is it jazz? You know, who knows? I don't fit into like a traditional category. I'm just this oddball. And I guess you could argue on both sides of that, right? You could argue that that's a great thing because it's, you know, yeah, you're unique, you're different, you know, but at the same time, really, do we all really want to be different or do we just really want to fit in somewhere? For me, I'm just looking for the kind of people that are different like me that I fit in with. I would love to find that. I mean, I would love to know other people like me, people that struggle like I do, people that can relate to me, people that want to be there for me, you know, and vice versa. I love helping people. I love being there for people, but I'm always around people that don't want it. Just like, my whole career in this most recent role is they didn't want what they asked me for. And now they're going to look for it in someone else. And that's a whole nother can of worms in terms of disappointment and you know, realization of failure, but it hurts, man. I mean, that's the bottom line, is that it breaks my heart that people don't see that I'm a real human being and I'm sincere. This isn't bullshit. This isn't fake. I'm not pretending. I actually care. So much that I'm willing to sacrifice my time in my personal life. I mean, everything. I'm willing to go with the flow, change who I am, be open-minded, anything. And maybe that's what the problem is. I come off like completely desperate and pathetic now because I'm so eager to please that I'm just pathetic. And, you know, that can definitely elicit certain feelings within people of like, well, he doesn't have any confidence because he's just, you know, whatever we say, he wants to fulfill it. And if we say no, he just comes back with something different. And he, you know, I mean, I don't know how to see that negatively, because I think that if you object to something that I've suggested and I come back with a different idea, I think that is the point. Well, if you don't like what I've said here and you don't like this idea, how about this idea? Let's just keep on trying things until we find what you want. And then let's do that. You know, but I mean, I'm not joking in any way, shape, or form that I don't know how else to be as a person. I'm not disingenuous. I'm just real. Which is why I say the things that I say the way that I say them. Because if you've done something to me and it's affected me and hurt me, a part of you is going to die inside of me, and I'm going to lose some of the feeling and some of the love in some cases that I have for you. But nobody wants to hear any of that. People just want to hear, they just want to be lied to, man. I mean, that's the only thing I can imagine. It's and look at what's going on in our world today. It's just lie after lie and deception and deceit and just who knows what's going on. It's a complete disaster. We can't even figure out what the heck is going to help us with the virus still. They're hiding drugs that might help, that have helped people, because it's not making enough money. I mean, it's just so bad. What happened to telling the truth and being an honest, reputable person? Where is that? Why has everybody got to lie and bullshit and posture and run around and pretend like they're something they're not? Just be who you are and be proud and you know, own it. I've said that, you know, countless times before. Own, you know, I own not only my success, but my failure. I own who I am as a person. I understand I have a lot of problems and there's a lot of things that are wrong with me. I totally understand that. I really do. Which is why I'm trying to work on making them better. And it's, you know, it's no picnic, man. This is not an easy process by any stretch of the imagination. I am not having an easy time or an easy go at this. This is no fun at all. But I think it's the right thing to do, so I'm doing it. And in fact, I know it's the right thing to do because I want to impact the people around me in a positive way. And if that means I need to change and make changes in my life, then I'm willing to do it. But I keep getting handed these shit sandwiches from the people that I'm doing this for. Whether it be professional or personal, it's like, don't you understand how hard I'm trying to not be this person that you don't like? And how much I'm putting into it and how much effort I'm spending and thinking about it and you know, kind of strategizing in my mind, how can I do this better? How can I not have these same experiences going forward? How can I improve myself? If you don't understand that, I'm every minute of my day, I'm thinking like that. And it's got to be honest, it's exhausting. You know, sometimes, you know, even I need, you know, not even I, but like, I definitely need someone that's an advocate for me, that can be there for me, that is going to tell me it's going to be okay and can just give me a hug and love me and it, you know, give me that kind of affection that I need. And this has nothing to do with sex or physicality in that way. It's genuinely someone that loves me, that can actually make me feel better and not feel like the loser that I feel that I am. And it's something I don't have in my life, and I don't know how to find it or get it or achieve that at all. I mean, that's just kind of what, that luck of the draw, I guess. I didn't meet people that do that for me. You know, my family doesn't do that. Meaning my parents don't do that at all. My wife doesn't do that. And it's, you know, it's not something that my children are able to provide, even though they try it. You know, they're my children. They're still kids. I mean, I guess my son is 21 now, but that's not what I'm saying. You know, I need a partner that can help me with this stuff. Even if I had a friend to confide in. I mean, that's why it's so pathetic. I have no friends. The only guy that I had in my life that was close to me like this, unfortunately passed away. I've mentioned this. He passed away from cancer. And I didn't even get to say goodbye to the guy. his wife was such a miserable sea bag that she didn't tell me how sick he was and he died. Man, the stories I could tell you guys, holy cow. My life has been quite a journey, I'll say that. But it's been filled with, you know, a lot more loss than it has celebration. Loss and disappointment and despair. And, you know, I'm really hoping in the end that there was some purpose for this, but I don't know that there was. I mean, as an example, everybody around me in my personal life looks at what I'm doing, the things that I do, whether it's music, and especially this podcast, as being a total farce. It's not supported. I'm an idiot for doing this in people's eyes that are around me. This is dumb. Why are you doing that? This is a waste of time. It's so stupid. Nobody's listening to it anyway. Rather than understanding what I'm trying to actually achieve by doing this. Like I've said before, I use these to help me. I hope they help you too. Sincerely. But I have no other outlet to do this other than this. I mean, I'm just going to walk around the room and talk to myself. At least here I can hear myself in headphones. So it literally sounds like when I'm doing this podcast, it feels like I'm having a conversation. Even though there's no rebuttals and there's no back and forth with another person, it feels in my mind as if I'm having a conversation because I can hear myself come back in the headphones speaking. I hear my voice through the microphone. So it sounds like I'm having a conversation. Which is why I think these things flow so well, because it feels like it's just a one-sided conversation and that's how it comes out. So, you know, I mean, for me, that is helping, but I'm being told I'm an idiot and it's dumb and you're a loser and why are you wasting your time? It's so stupid. You know, all these wonderfully positive things, you know, insert sarcasm there, of course, but you know, I'm willing to try anything, and I'm willing to accept most anything in terms of the reality of the circumstances that I find myself in. But, you know, it's not that easy to just flip the switch and all of a sudden everything's fine. Yeah. So, okay. Anyway, enough of that, right? Holy crap. This was a depressing as hell episode. I I apologize for that, but you know, you get what you get with me. All right, so let's get to a wonderful poem of the day from Poetic Rhetoric, Nonsensical Blasphemy. You know, you would think I'd be able to say this. Maybe that was part of my problem, is the title sucked. I thought it was pretty clever, but I think I'm a lot like Brian Griffin in that way. Like, I think I'm clever and smart and all this, but I'm actually a complete joke. Just like poor Brian, but I like Brian a lot. But I liken myself a lot to that. Anyway, today's poem is called All You. All You. Can I just blame you for all my issues and make you supply me with all of the tissues? It's your fault I am who I am. No blame is my own. I am who you am. Makes sense to me to blame you for me. It's easier to swallow rather than wallow. In what I call my life, with all the mistakes and shortcomings I've amassed, it's you that I fault for air when I've gasped. For all that I've done, I guess you are the one, not me as you'll see, don't pin this on me. I live in the shadow instead of the meadow. I'd pick flowers if I could, instead I chop wood. And not ever for fire, but for mulch and some buyer. Who cares whom? Do you? The wonderful things that you do. But for me it's the same, I fail over and over and painfully maim, and that's why I give to you all of the blame. So interestingly, I'm not sure if I'm talking about me in that or someone else, but I would suspect that I'm talking about myself in the third person there, where I'm blaming myself for all of the things that go on. It's really ultimately my fault and I can't get out of my own way. And, you know, I find it ironic that I'm literally going in page by page, chronological and alphabetical order. So this book was done in alphabetical order. So it chronologically and alphabetically is in order, just to be clear there. That's why I'm saying it that way. But it's funny because I'm not reading these poems ahead of time, as I've said. I'm just doing the podcast and then reading a the next poem on the next page. And it's so interesting that I don't know why, but they seem to align. So I think there's actually a lot of insight in this ridiculous book of poetry that I've written 6 or 7 years ago, that I'm still struggling with a lot of the same issues today. So I don't know, that's just kind of insightful to me to see that that's the scenario that I'm faced with even 7 years later. I haven't made much progress and everything that I said 7 years earlier is still to some degree a reality for me today. Anyway, with that, this might be my longest podcast ever, just clipped 50 minutes. Well, thank you so much for listening. I'm so sorry if I have, put a miserable cloud over your day, but I hope you can use my negativity to kind of reflect that back on you as positivity, because you're not hopefully going through the same things that I am, and you can be proud and happy and feel good about your life. And I wish you nothing but the best. Thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you again tomorrow.